Australia. How are you going? How are you going? I hope you're all right. This is NBA Australia. It is Wednesday, hump day. May 1st, pinching a punch for the first day of the month. Come here, Gerald. Whoopang! I don't actually want to try that with him. He might kickbox my head in. I'm your host, James Clements. You can see me on the Fox Sports Lab NBA show, AFL Today show, AFL Supercoach show, here in the Sports Today studio, hanging out, talking three games today. Two were knockouts, and nobody's going home. That's right, we got the Tyrese Maxey game, and we got the Pacers crap down their legs game, and we also had an awesome Orlando-Cleveland game three. So we'll cover those in the NBA Australia Game Wraps. We've got That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. We've got some Yeah Nahs, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Take Guess, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There is some LeBron news as well, which is kind of fun. Don Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, and pick and preview the two games tomorrow. There's only two. That'll be fun. They're two absolute crackers, though. So, without further ado, should we just get into this one? I reckon we should. All right, this is episode 1087 of NBA Australia. Jeez, that's a lot of shows. Let's go!
This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Shaq had some words for Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, you can't be out there taking these bad shots at the start of the game. Joel Embiid, you got to go in there. You're a big man. Go in. Dominate.
It's all right, Shaq. All right. Hey, Shaq, is that a big man? What are they doing?
Not dominating. Not dominating. Got to dominate when you're a big man. I'd score 34 points in today's NBA.
It's like, sure you would, Shaq. Sure you would. You wouldn't last one game. Oh, geez, Jim, is that right? Yes, I'm so sick of like, oh, is that an NBA player? What are they saying? A former NBA player? Do they believe that they could score 30 or 40 points in today's NBA? Well, colour me shocked. It's every one of them. Bloody hell. What a bunch of dorks. Oh, man, yeah, fucking if I was playing today, man, I'd score like 40. Sure you fucking would, Gilbert Arenas. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show with the Daily. It's a whip around. I didn't lean into that one that much. Sorry, Gerald. That's okay. Anyway, bit of the daily news. LeBron James is expected to opt out of his contract, be a free agent. It'd be pretty interesting. And also, he was always going to opt out because that way he can sort of at least just re-up, hold the Lakers over the flame, trade everybody because Le GM, I mean, he's got a great track record. Lee GM does. Lee GM James. Yeah. He'll be like trading AD. He'll be just punting D-Lo to China. He's going to be sending Jackson Hayes into the netherworld. D-Lo's just like, man, I've got to learn Chinese. This sucks. I love it, though. It's awesome. Because it's like, it's never LeBron James's fault. And to be honest, when you're 39 years old and you're averaging, 28, 7, and 8, that's pretty bloody good. So I'll pay that. But at the same time, have a sook. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll talk about that again later. Brad Stevens, he won Executive of the Year, which is pretty funny because he actually never won Coach of the Year. Many would argue better coach than executive, but also has done a pretty good job of putting this roster together, obviously, the Boston Celtics. They can play a bit. He won ahead of Sam Presti and Tim Connolly, which is pretty good. I'd argue that Sam Presti might have a bit of an interesting look in there, but Brad Stevens did get the extreme zinger meal for basically, a bag of chips. Marcus Smart, Moose Mascala, Danilo Gallinari, and a couple of picks. But, I mean, what else? He also traded the Jrue Holiday trade is actually probably what wins this for him because it was awesome. Like, to rebuild this roster on the fly, as he did, is actually pretty bloody good. To go get snag Jrue Holiday after he'd been sent to the Shadow Realm as well, i.e., what was it, Portland? That sounds right. I don't know. I can't even remember. Brogdon, Time Lord. Yeah, it was up in Portland. He was part of the Dame trade, obviously. So, yeah, he just goes, hey, did Milwaukee just trade one of the really best defensive point guards in the NBA for Dame Lillard? They didn't trade him to us. Fuck it, I'll go get him anyway. That's awesome. Great job. Anyway, good job, Brad Stevens. I mean, if he'd gotten Coach of the Year, he'd start sort of giving Larry Bird that sort of fun run for like running, you know, the gamut of awards that you can win. Apart from all the actually really important ones like MVP, Rookie of the Year, Finals MVP, all that sort of stuff that Larry did win. But anyway, good job, Brad Stevens. Celtics take a victory lap. Extreme Zingamill, speaking of which, he's out for a couple of games. It's a weird one because they're like, oh, yeah, he's definitely out for the next couple of games, but we're just going to say several. Like, define several. They're like, it might be seven. It might be three. We're not going to tell you. He's got a calf strain. So it's a right soleus strain. So if we can send that out to the physios out there, they can tell us, you know, a bit of an idea. But I reckon it's at least a 1.5 week sort of injury. I'm no medical doctor, but that's what I reckon. Just, it's basically, it's Kristaps Porzingis. Just add an extra week or two to every injury and you're laughing. It's a tough one for Boston, but they should still be too good for Miami. In game, what would be, that'll be game five tomorrow. Kawhi Leonard, he's going to miss game five tomorrow as well because no one knows. He's like, yeah, I'm not coming to work. You're like, why? He's like, not going to tell you. It's none of your business. It's like, what? Yes, it is. Kawhi, it definitely is our business. We're your employer. We're in the playoffs. He's like, fuck you. I love it. What a lunatic. Nah, it's like he's obviously his knee stuff is sort of like, bit wonky. Meanwhile, Luka Doncic has a knee sprain. We'll play in game five anyway, he reckons. Bojan Bogdanovic, however. So the Knickerbockers of New York City lose today. Bet you know, they wish they had won that game. I can't believe they got reverse Larry Johnson. It's amazing. But anyway, we'll get to that in a second. Bojan, he's done for the season. He's got foot surgery already done. He basically came onto the court and within seconds, I think he'd gotten tangled up with Batum and stepped on his foot. He was also dealing with like a wrist thing too. So that sucks. I love Bojan, my very good friend Bojan Bogdanovic. So bit of a shit one. Jaime Jaquez is also out for game five in Boston with a hip injury. And Chris Finch, that's right, the Minnesota coach. They don't know if he's going to be out for game one against Denver with his knee injury. But Jim, he's a coach, yes, and he did his patella, and he had to undergo surgery. I also love that normal people usually have to wait for like surgery, right? Like NBA stars, you get it. You know, you're an athlete. We need you to get you under the knife ASAP. Let's do it. The coach, he's just a dude. He's just a highly paid dude. Oh, we better rush him to the front of the queue. Why? He doesn't have to run up and down the court. This is weird. This is a bit protected species gear for me. It's like, oh, no, we've got specialists for that gym, do we? Have you looked at the healthcare system in America? It's rooted. But it's okay. We'll get the coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves right under the knife right away. Meanwhile, there's probably people waiting 4 months for that sort of surgery. Anyway, still, it looked pretty bloody bad, Gerald. So probably just as well. It might have been emergency surgery. Got to save his leg. There we go. Hopefully Chris Finch recovers very soon. Let's do some game wraps. Game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps. Let's do it. Today, you might have heard about this game. Overtime. Philly beat the New York Knickerbockers of New York City 112-106. What a game. What a bloody game. The Tyrese Maxey explosion. He exploded everywhere at MSG. It was bloody fantastic. Absolutely my favorite thing is watching Knicks fans get their hopes lifted and then dashed all at once. God, this is just manna for the soul, that sort of stuff. You got all these Knicks legends there going, we're having the best time ever. We're going to beat the Sixers. We haven't closed out a series at home since 1999. And guess what? You haven't yet again. That's unreal. Sucked in. Patrick Ewing sitting there going, oh, I'm really old and I can't stand up, but I fucking love the Knicks. Let's go. John McEnroe's looking at this fucking sick John McEnroe jersey I've got. And guess what? Fuck all of yous. Sucked in. But Jim, you hate the Sixers as well. Yeah, I hate every team. I love basketball, but I hate all of yous until the Seattle Supersonics come back. It's an easy fix. Adam Silver, get that sorted right now. But seriously, no, the Knicks fans are hilarious. I love them. Absolutely love them. My Knicks fans mates back in New York are just like beside themselves about we won that game. And then we lost it. What the fuck happened? I'm like, Tyrese Maxey happened, and also defense, and also hit some free throws. Also, foul up three. Simple as that. Because you know what you can't score when you're taking two free throws? 3 fucking points! If you're up 3, you can't score 2 when you got 2 fucking free throws. It's not rocket surgery. Foul Tyrese Maxey. Anyway, so this game was fun. It was so back and forth. It was like lunatic gear. It was like 49-43 at the half. Like the Sixers got up early. Embiid was sort of like taking weird shots, but they were flying. And the Knicks then got bang, like just went bang and got up 10 in the second quarter after being down 9. But you sort of had like this nice little resurgence by the Sixers at the end of the first half, which was probably one of those early warning signals of like, hey, fucking pay attention, Knicks. And they're like, oh, nah, we'll just let Maxi get that last little layup, man. They kept screwing the pooch. They fought back awesomely as well in the third quarter. Campaign, the never nude Tobias Harris, Maxi all hit threes. For the Knicks, you're like, this is slightly worrisome that only Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart are like only the only ones scoring in this third quarter. I think OG hit a shot late. I think Deuce McBride might have had one as well, but it was cooked. And you're like, this is pretty worrisome, right? They didn't get anything from really Dante DiVincenzo until late. It was 69-70 after three. So the Sixers had fought back, got it within one. And then that fourth quarter, Sixers got off to a flyer. But the Knicks turned around. They had a 10-zip run in the middle of that fourth quarter. You're like, all right, this is probably, you're feeling pretty good if you're a Knicks fan. Like this is when John McEnroe is flexing. Patrick Ewing is sort of hanging out there. Melo is wearing his hat. Fucking Melo. And it was cool. Like everything was great if you're a Knicks fan. And then it wasn't. Sixers still like basically like Tobias Harris broke the levy actually of the scoring in that after that run. And Maxi just kept looking fucking incredible. There was this incredible, like basically there's a moment about 3 minutes to go. Both teams look absolutely more cooked than one of my old man snags, right? Embiid gets his offensive board after Nick Batum. Oh, watch me miss this shot. Oh, misses a three. Embiid gets the O board, gets it up and in. It's a one-point game. The Sixers go to a zone out of nowhere and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? The Knicks turn it over like almost instantly. Josh Hart fights Batum for an offensive board, gets the tip in. Brunson's just driving to the teeth of the defense all of a sudden. Embiid has the ball stolen, tipped away by Mitch Robinson. OG Anunoby, he's just like, fucking yes, the Knicks, they're bringing down the house. They're up 5. They're feeling great. Then Maxi gets an and one, and you're like, Jesus, that's a kick in the dick. He misses the free throw, and you're like, oh, sucked in. Brunson hits a pull-up. OG still. He gets fouled on the breakaway. He only hits one of them, though. 4-point game. Deuce McBride hits a three after they go back the other way, and the Sixers score. It's a 6-point game for the Knicks. You're feeling pretty good. And then Maxi reverse Larry Johnson's him. 4-point play. The weirdest part was the call was that bad on TV. He's like, oh, that's a two. His foot was on the line. He's like, what the fuck are you watching? That, it was clearly a three. Boom. The refs check it out. It's a three. Makes it. Hits the free throw. 4-point play. Like he's falling out fucking over himself. It's incredible. 2-point game. 25 seconds left. Hart gets fouled. Hits one of two free throws. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That's what the baby says. The 18-month-old squid number two. He's like, uh-oh. I'm like, motherfucker, you just threw your fucking breakfast on the floor repeatedly. Uh-oh. That's not an uh-oh. You did that on purpose. I'm not saying Josh Hart missed that one on purpose, but it was the same sort of vibe. Because Maxi hits a three. Of course he does. You're down three. You got to go for a three. Hits the three. Foul up three. Knicks, if you foul up three, you win this game. Sucked in, you didn't. Brunson goes back up the other way. You're like, this is the game winner. Oh, shit, he got blocked by Nick Batum. He tried to throw it up high, no good. We're going to overtime, 97-97. You're like, what the fuck just happened? I have no idea what just happened. And it turns out Tyrese Maxey happened because he scored, what, 7 points in 17 seconds. So not only did they get reverse Larry Johnson, they got Reggie Millard again. It just keeps fucking happening. To this point, where I'm now thinking the Sixers are going to win this fucking series because the Knicks have just gotten like two of their most like incredible, like weird memoried where Larry Johnson, they got reverse Larry Johnson in this one. He pulls off the 4-point game. Reggie Miller did it to him as well. And here we are. It's incredible. What a game. We go to overtime. Maxi and Brunson are going back and forth. The biggest problem was, I think in overtime, the Knicks had 12 possessions. In 10 of them, Jalen Brunson had an ISO in it, went 3 of 8 and turned the ball over twice. Now, I'm no math magician there, producer Gerald, but that's pretty fucking shit. Why is that, Jim? It's probably because he's gassed. He played 1 million T-millet minutes. Like, what else do you expect? He's at the end of his ragged rope. He's like, no one else is doing shit. It's just basically me throwing fucking haymakers and none of these idiots are doing shit else. Killing me. It's like Josh Hart missed a layup and Deuce McBride missed a three-pointer at the end. And you're like, yeah. No wonder Jalen Brunson's like, I got to fucking Nelson Muntz this. I got to do it all my fucking self. God damn. Meanwhile, the Sixers rip off a 9-0 run, take control. And basically, the lesson here is make your free throws. Make your goddamn free throws. Like, Brunson gets a one or two on the flagrant call and Embiid, where Embiid just whomps him in the fucking head. It's tied, though, at 106-106 because Brunson hits a three. Awesome gear. But then the next just fucking offense just falls apart down the stretch. And, of course, hey, Jim, is it the bloke that you've been shit-talking all year? Did he step up? Of course he did, because that's what Tobias Harris does. You're paying $35 million to be shit, really shit, super shit, and then he hits two clutch free throws at the end of a fucking game to sink the Knicks. Sucked in, dickheads. Love to see it. Anyway, chaos game, awesome game. To be honest, I think I said at the start of this series, give me seven games of this, we might get it. Hopefully, because that'd be fucking fun. Game six in Philly is going to be an absolute psychotic scene, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, so for the Knickerbockers, Brunson ended up with 40 points, but he shot 15 of 32, which is still pretty bloody good. 4 of 11 from downtown. 6 assists, 3 steals, 4 turnovers. Josh Hart had 18, 9 and 4, but couldn't hit a 3. And I think that's been the big difference, right? Like, when Josh Hart's hitting 3s, when Dante DiVincenzo is hitting 3s as well, the Knicks look unstoppable. But in this series, they've just gone, Dante's been ice cold. Josh Hart was hitting 3s at the start of the series, hasn't hit any since. He was like making up for it by getting a shit ton of rebounds. So the 18, 9 and 4, he shot 7 of 17. It was just a lot of weird junk buckets. Oh, I love my junk buckets. OG had 17 and 6, went 2 of 5 from 3 though. Deuce at 14, went 2 of 7 from 3. But that's the problem, right? Dante DiVincenzo went 1 of 7 from downtown. 10 of 36 from 3 as a team. Again, we keep going to this in the playoffs, though. So who made more threes? Did they win? Yes, because the Sixers went 15 of 39. That's better than 10 of 36. Simple as that sometimes. Maxey, 46 and 9. Spoiler alert, he's going to win the NBA Australia Prove Performer of the Night. Did I just stroke out there for a second? I think I did. 17 of 30. Fucking hell, that is good. 7 of 12 from downtown as well. Tyrese Maxey. I believe his full name is Tyrese motherfucking Maxey. God damn. The four-point play, the 8 points. God damn. He was awesome. Embiid nearly had the quadruple-double with the turnovers at the end. What do you have? 19 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists, and 9 turnovers. Also had 5 blocks. Not bloody bad. Shot 7 of 19, though. Gross! 1 of 4 from downtown. Tobias Harris, 19 and 8. Earn that money, Tobias. Earn that money. Shot 7 of 11 as well. 3-6 from downtown. Oubre at 14 and 4. Actually, Kelly Oubre, I don't think I mentioned him. He hit this like bullshit falling over shot at the end of regulation that saved the possession for the Sixers and actually gave them a chance to stay in that right at the end that led to what it would have kept them down 4. And when Josh Hart goes 1-2, basically they could tie it up. Incredible gear. Nick Batum, 8 points, 8 rebounds, amazing block at the end. Campaign, bring the pain. He had 6 points. Either way, awesome win for the Sixers. Hilarious stuff. Sucked in Knickerbockers. They lead 3-2 going back to Philly on Friday. Then we had Orlando-Cleveland. Awesome game as well. What a sick game. 103-104. It wasn't actually a one-point game really right at the end. And there was a bit of a 104-100 scoreline, and then Paolo Banchero hit a 3 at the very end of that game with like 0.1 of a second left. But no go the fro Jared Allen, and Cleveland got out to a flyer. Do they need him? Question mark. Evan Mobley was absolutely awesome. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland was shredding. He had 17 points in the first bit. Paolo and Franz went off. Basically, I think there was like a massive flyer taken there by Cleveland. Garland woke up. He had 17 points early. It's been a weird series for Darius Garland. Makes sense because they've got Jalen Suggs and co. that they can throw at him. But he was really bloody good today. Donnie Mitchell got going late, was a bit quiet early on. And as soon as Donnie Mitchell got going, Cleveland were just like, fucking yeah, we're going, man. We're going to win this. What do you reckon? And this was an awesome arm wrestle of a game because I think after the first half, it was a one-point game. And then the second half literally just felt like it was bucket for bucket the entire fucking second half. It was nuts. you had Paolo just fucking have an out-of-body experience. He's just like, ah, I'll just bring the ball up and lace this three. Franz Wagner, hello, he's flexing to the crowd. That came back to bite him on the ass, just saying, because they didn't win. But Garland was ducking in, dropping dimes off left, right, and center. Mobley has a game-saving block on Franz. That's where it came back to bite him in the ass. Paolo hits the three at the end, but it didn't matter because they just manufactured enough points. And sometimes Cleveland, when you got Donny Mitchell, he's just like, fuck it, I'm going to drive. Check this out. Goes to the hoop, gets fouled. Orlando's defense, as good as it has been and as good as it was, those clutch little moments, they couldn't really manufacture enough points the way that Cleveland could. Paolo, he's almost there. He's so close to being there. 39. He was absolutely unreal. It's the likes of Franz, though. I think Franz missed a three late. We're like, ooh, hit that and it's good. Suggs couldn't hit a shot today. He had 13 points, shot 0 of 5 from 3, 5 of 14 overall. Franz finishes with 14, 5 and 6, but bada bang, bada was on fucking real. 39 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 14 and 24, 4 of 7 from downtown, on the road in the playoffs. That is big nuts stuff. Big nuts. That's like you got to fucking carry those onto the bus in a sack. Just go, oh, here we go. Oh, bang. Sit them on the bloody bus seat next to you. Like, he did everything he could to win that game. Mo Wagner had 8 points, 2 rebounds. Wendell had 7-11. And you sort of look at that closing five. You look at Wendell, you look at Suggs, Fultz, not Fultz, Paolo, Franz, and who am I missing? One of them. They had Jingles out there at one point, which is kind of fun. But the Wendell, Suggs, Franz, Paolo, sort of quadruple four dudes. And you're like, and then Johnny Isaac, right? You can throw him out there. You can throw Jingles out there if you need a three. It's all well and good. But they still need a point guard. It's like, oh, geez, how do we not manufacture these good shots? It's like, I don't know, because you keep fucking turning the ball over. And also it's just like, well, we'll give the ball to Paolo. And they just go, well, we'll just put all of our defense basically facing him. And it'll fuck you up. And that's exactly what happened. Ice Cold Anthony wasn't it today. He went 1 of 4. He was ice cold. And Isaac, 7 and 5, 3 of 5 shooting. His defense is, you know, pretty bloody good as per usual. But the Cavs, I'll tell you what, it's weird how whenever one of their big dudes is out, they just look better. They did win their first two games at home. This is going at home, this series. But God, Mobley looked good by himself. There was a couple of moments where he was getting a little bit cooked and you're like, they could probably use Jared Allen, but geez, just their offense. Just gave Donnie a little bit more room to operate. He had 28 points in the end, shot 9 of 23, 9 of 10 at the line. That was kind of the big thing. He kept forcing his way to the line at the end. He also got fouled on a three late, which is pretty, pretty, pretty dumb by the Magic Man. 23, 5 and 5 for Garland. He was awesome. 14, 13, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks for Mobley. I told you it was a problem. 16 for Struess. He hit 4 of 10 from 3 as well. Mook Morris had 12 points. That is just found fucking money right there. Isaac Okoro shot 2 of 10. But hit a big three. My sweet baby, Caris LeVert, 1 of 3 in 19 minutes. Not great. And the minivan, George Niang, did not play. Coach's decision didn't matter. Cleveland win. Awesome game. Go rewatch that one. It is sick. Cleveland lead 3-2. And then finally, Milwaukee, without Dame Lillard or Giannis Antetokounmpo, kicked their shit out of the Pacers. 115-92. Whapow. It was like close at the half. And then it was not. It was like, wasn't this a 5-point game 2 seconds ago? And you're like, ah, it's like 12. Oh, shit, now it's way more. What the fuck is going on with the Pacers? They fell apart in the second half. And you're like, you're up 3-1. I get that you're sort of feeling a little bit comfortable in the 3-1 lead. But the 3-1 series lead is the most dangerous lead in all the sports, I'll tell you. It really is. Because then suddenly it's 3-2. If you lose the next one in Indy, guess what? 3-3. No shit, Jim. No shit. It can very quickly be, oh, fuck, there's Dame and Giannis, and we've lost 2-3 games straight. We're down. Well, it's gone to 7. We've lost. But the Pacers, look, the offense was just completely shit-ass today. 12 points on 12 shots to Siakam. 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Not enough. Turner had 13 and 5. Tyrese Halliburton was going early, 16 and 6. Hit a couple of threes. Was 4 of 10 from downtown overall. Nembhard, 12 points. Naismith, though, 1 of 5 from deep. Brutal gear for him. He was a minus 22. Outside of Obi Toppin's 12, 6 and 4, the bench did sweet fuck all as well. TJ McConnell, nothing. It's like, these are the sorts of games where you're like, oh, man, just imagine if you had Benny Mathurin. just to throw him on there and go, get him, Benny. And he's like, all right. No good, no good. The Pacers, though, 12 of 38 from three, got out-rebounded 44-36 and got out-muscled by fighting Bobby Portis, fighting around the world. And Pat Bev, it had to happen at some point where you're tough, you're like fake tough guy act for the Bucks with Doc Rivers, Pat Bev, Malik Beasley, fighting Bobby Portis. It actually worked. They out-muscled, out-toughed the Pacers. They really did. It was awesome. Portis ends up with 29 and 10. Love that. Shot 14 and 24. Chris Pippa Middleton was a Kate Middleton today. Actually, that's now a lot weirder than it was on that run to the finals. Remember how he turned from a Pippa into a Kate? It's like, well, he didn't go MIA, so I guess he's more of a Pippa again. Bit of royal talk for you on NBA Australia. Hashtag Royal Australia. 29, 12, and 5 for Chris Pippa Middleton again. Amazing gear. 9 and 20 for him today. 4 of 7 from downtown. 18 points, 4 of 6 from 3 for Malik Beasley. 13 and 12 for Pat Bev. He was everywhere early. Gave a massive shot in the arm when they needed it. Brook Lopez had 12. 19 for Paddy Connaughton off the bench as well. But wow, Indy's offense falls in a heap. I think they scored 36 points across the second and third quarters combined. They scored 31 in the first quarter. It was just shit. They completely fell apart. If Tyrese Halliburton was actually alive, you know, it's pretty crazy. But the craziest part is, I think with Giannis and Dame out, the Bucks became the first team ever to win a playoff game without their top two scorers from the regular season. That's crazy. And feels very untrue. Feels like a stat I just made up. All right, let's do an NBA approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
I will tell you what. It would be the guy whose full name is now read out as Tyrese motherfucking Maxey. Because holy shit. 46 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, shoots 17 of 30, 7 of 12 from 3. Come on, man. 7 points in 17 seconds to get the Sixers to overtime. The 4-point play, the reverse Larry Johnson. God, it was fun. If you weren't a Knicks fan. It was so good. Even if you hate Joel Embiid, you're like, ah, oh, it's fun to see the Knicks fans suffer though. Because they just had their hopes raised so high. They're like, we're closing this out. And Tyrese Maxey goes, 1 second. Bang, here's a giant kick in the dick. What do you reckon? And every Knicks fan is like, should have seen that coming. Should have seen that coming. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Flip side, when Kyle Lowry fouled, well, had his fifth foul, and they're like, yeah, that'll do, Kyle. Boy, the Sixers were better. It was hilarious. He played for 26 minutes today, our man Kyle Lowry, shot 0 of 4 from the floor. 0 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. And when he sat, you're like, oh, we're just giving the ball to Tyrese Maxey every time, and this is a way better option. No shit, Sherlock. Good job. And 3 of 10 shooting for Dante DiVincenzo was a bit spud-worthy, as was the 2 of 10 for Isaac Okoro. You could also just say the entire Pacers offense from the second quarter onwards was basically the spud of the night collectively, because they were, checks notes, shit. All right. What about Old Mate No Mates?
Old Mate No
Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No
Mates. Who's got no mates today? That'd be Joel Embiid in New York. Like, I love how much of a, totemic, talismanic, just idealized version of this guy sucks that most people have about Joel Embiid. I love it because he's out there grifting. The thing is, he might not be, he won the MVP last year. Might not be the best player on his team. It's just Tyrese Maxey. But talk about old mate, no mates. Having the entirety of Madison Square Garden chanting as one before the tip of the ball in game 5 of an NBA playoff series, fuck Embiid, fuck Embiid, fuck Embiid. That is awesome. Like, that is all-time sinister villain bullshit, and I am here for it. Good job, Joel. I'll tell you what, though. Should be representing Cameroon or France at the Olympics, not the USA. You're taking the piss. You're taking the piss. Anyway, Also, a bit of old mate, no mates. Josh Hart, Tibbs, Brunson. Tom Thibodeau does understand that you can play other players, right? Like, he does have other players on his bench because Josh Hart played 53 fucking minutes today. 53 minutes. There's 48 minutes in a game of basketball and 5 minutes of overtime. I'm no math magician, but I'm pretty sure that means that Josh Hart played the entire fucking game. Brunson played 51. 51. It's incredible. Tyrese Maxey played 52 as well. All right, pantsing of the night. Oh, if you're watching the YouTube, whoopang! That's the Nick Batum block on Jalen Brunson to save the game. And Evan Mobley, whoopang! Just gets it right the fuck out of here on Franz Wagner. Hello, he says, Nondo. And sent that one fucking packing, did Mobley. It was the defensive play of the game. It was absolutely awesome and absolutely a pantsing. It's like, you want to tie the game? Too fucking bad. Whoopang! And, I mean, the same with the Batum block. It's like, you want to win the game? Don't care. Whoopang! Off it goes. Definitely both pantsings. And finally,
better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, I don't know. Could be just Tyrese motherfucking Maxey again, the 21st pick in the 2020 draft. Just had 46 in a playoff game in MSG. Took his team to overtime. Did a reverse. Larry Johnson and Reggie Miller, the Knicks, in the one game. That's pretty good. But we just gave him the NBA Australian Improved Performer of the Night. How about Darius Rucker, Judy Garland? God, he was good today in Cleveland's win, 23-5-5. Stepped up when it mattered. Was just like, all right, Donnie Mitchell time. Sick. Got him the ball. Got out of his road. Caused all sorts of havoc. Nice little drop-offs. He was unreal today. 9-16, 3-5 from downtown, and just gave him a big shot on the arm when they definitely needed it. So love me a bit of Darius Garland. He was bloody good today and definitely better than Lonzo Ball. All right. Let's do some yeah-nahs right after, I guess, this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Let's do some yeah-nahs brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. That's right, get it. NBAAustralia.com/shop. Click through on the socials, go nuts. Buy a t-shirt, buy a hoodie. Get a coffee mug like I'm drinking from right now. You can see it if you're watching the YouTube. Or a stubby holder. They're all good. Oh, it's good water. Definitely not beers. Right, yeah-nahs, let's do it. Foul up three, Jim. Yeah-nah, yes. Every fucking time. How many times do we have to say this? Foul up three. Because again, what can't you score with two free throws? 3 points! Jesus. Anyway, did today help save Doc's job with Milwaukee winning? Yeah, nah. Nah, look, he was going to keep his job. They brought him in halfway through the season. He was going to talk him into, like, hey, you just signed me to a 3 or 4 year contract or whatever it was. Don't fire me this offseason. Don't fire two coaches in a season. Please. Today definitely helped his case there of like, see, we're not going to be that shit. If we had a healthy Dame and a healthy Giannis, look, we would have won the title. It's always that with Doc, isn't it? It's all, geez, if it was something, we would have won it all. Of course you would have, Doc. But either way, it definitely makes the Bucks feel a little bit better. Even if they lose this 4-2, it's better than the gentleman's sweep. That's right, looking at you, Lakers fans. Dan Drosha had a couple of good yeah-nahs that he sent through. First one, yeah-nah. Jokic should care more about basketball so he can get some calls. 29-20-9 is amazing, especially as he didn't take a free throw. Every time he gets hit and no-called, he just shrugs and runs off. Up the other end, LeBron's arguing with refs every bucket for an and-one. Love how Mike Malone said how good Jokic was and he didn't miss a free throw. That is good. Yeah, nah, yes. It is weird. Like, if Jokic Like, I think the weird part is Jokic kind of used to be much more argumentative. Like, now he's won a title. He's won a bunch of MVPs. He's like, what the fuck else have to prove? Nothing. I already win the MVP. I already win the title. I want to go race horses. If he did bitch and moan, it is one of those things you're like, you could probably pad your stats a little bit more. I just don't know how interested you are in it. But it might help you win more games a little bit easier, Nikola. So maybe just steer clear of the GGs for a little bit and actually fucking pay attention to the basketball. Anyway. And Dan also threw in the, yeah, nah, this is Maxi's team now. Look at me, I'm the captain. Yeah, it should be. Because he actually steps up in these fucking playoffs. Whereas Joel Embiid is like, oh, my knee's sore again. Oh, pack my Dax. Oh, geez. No, oh, gee whiz. He's turned into Morty. Oh, gee whiz, Tyrese. Better save us. Oh, geez. Yes. I think it's just much more of like a, there's such more upside to Maxi's game when he gets to the playoffs, right? You can see it with Johnny Mitchell. You can see it with Jam and Jamal Murray. Embiid has these games where he puts up these massive numbers sometimes in the playoffs, but he also just tops out. So it might be more about the Sixers go as far as Tyrese Maxey can carry them rather than Joel Embiid, which is pretty fucking interesting. Pretty fucking interesting. Matty O had a couple of good ones as well. First round in the West was a bit disappointing after all the hype with two sweeps and a 4-1 win. What was it? Yeah, two sweeps. OKC. We had 4-1. Denver. Yeah. That is weird. It is a bit of a... Yeah. Semis, though, will be fire. Yeah, nah. Yeah, the semis are going to be awesome. The West, it is strange, but if you look at the Pelicans, they lose Ion. That's shit. I mean, injuries fucking suck. The Suns, that was just a big fucking disappointment. They'd swept the Wolves in the regular season, then got swept by the Wolves in the postseason. So that's more of a disappointing thing because that should have gone far longer. And then the 4-1 of Lakers Nuggets, we sort of all knew that was coming because, you know, remember, the Lakers got swept by them last year. It is a little bit disappointing after the absolute bloodbath that the West was. And you sort of think, would we have been better served having the Warriors in there just for a little bit more Steph? And Adam Silver, you know what he's saying? Of course, Jimmy, I would have much rather have Steph in there. Oh, God. But also KD and LeBron, but they're all gone now, so we'll just have to string out them all coming to play together. That's coming down the pipe. Just give me a second. I'll get there. Matty O also chucked in a great one. Has there been a crazier duo in NBA history? Yeah, nah, with a picture of fighting Bobby Portis and Pat Bev. Yeah, nah. Probably not one with the simple air of destructive malevolence that they just sort of have in about them at every point. Because there's definitely a crazier duo in NBA history, like the Bad Boy Pistons, like Rick Mahorn and co. Just like they would have been like, yeah, we're nuts and we just want to fight everybody. Rasheed Wallace and like anybody else that he ever played with, the trail, like the Jailblazers, like they had like eight different crazy duos. But Pat Bev and Bobby Portis, like they are just a match made in heaven. It's like a lot of shit talking. It's a lot of kind of fight starting. It's kind of, we can also back it up every so often. It's rad. I love it. But also, you got to think about crazy duos. Like, Michael Jordan was nuts. And he played with Dennis Rodman. Like, what about a crazier duo? That's a great one. I don't know. We've had some fucking crazy ones, though. Love that. What about Andre Blatch and Gilbert Arenas on the same team? Not bad. Not bad. Jez Oz. Hey, Jim. If Dallas doesn't get out of the first round, Jason Kidd should be extradited to Australia. And given a traditional booting. Yeah, nah, yes. I do love that he actually added, that's a kick in the ass with an oversized boot for the 0.1% who haven't seen The Simpsons. Yeah, nah, yeah, look, we've all seen it. But yeah, Jason Kidd should just get the righteous traditional booting in the ass. He doesn't have to come to Australia. He can just go to the embassy in like New York or Washington or something. Just do it there. Like, we don't have to fly him all the way out here, do we? Want to save those taxpayer dollars, Gerald? What do you think? But he should definitely get a kick in the ass if they lose this series because he didn't play Dante Exum or Josh Granny Green enough. Just saying. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Tell you what, if LeBron wants to win another title, we which he probably obviously does. Do you want him in Golden State? Or would he be better served, watch out, in Philly? Or hang on, could we finally right the wrongs of 2010 when he went to Miami? That's right. I kind of want to see LeBron in New York with this Knicks team. Fuck, that'd be fun. Just give me 2 years of that. You know that they, in a heartbeat, would be like, oh, fuck, we can get LeBron. The problem is, that's never going to happen because it's run by the exact opposite agency of Clutch, right? So, yeah, that's a goddamn pipe dream. But I'll tell you what, it would be fun as hell to see Jalen Brunson with LeBron, with all those shooters, Mitch Robinson. You can piss Julius Randle off at that point and just go, right, LeBron, you're our four. I love that. That'd be fun as hell. Like, Philly LeBron would also be kind of neat. Replace Tobias Harris with, like, a fully armed and operational LeBron James, and you've actually got three weapons. Like, LeBron next to a big like Embiid and a guard like Maxey. Pack her up, boys. That's fucking awesome. Let's go. Anyway, I kind of like that. Anyway, LeBron in New York, it would be fun as shit. That's the unpopular opinion of the day. Unfortunately, not going to happen. The cool thing is the Outback Takehouse. Oh, yes. It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, the midweek specials, a.k.a. it's a goldfish that we just found, and it's just, it's a bit fucked. But we cooked it up, boom. Chuck that in your Sanger, and we'll turn it into, like, some sort of fish sandwich. It's fucking great, and it's only at Outback. Goes great as a flame grill take, and today's flame grill take is, if KD, Steph, and LeBron all want to win an extra title, guess what they've got to do? Team up! Let's do it! We're all going to Memphis. That would be the weirdest and most fun aspect of this, wouldn't it be? Like, they just go somewhere that's so fucking strange, so out of the blue, we're like, what the fuck are they doing? Sure. Steph's like, I want to go to Memphis. No, they could all end up on Golden State. Let's do it. Let's send LeBron to the Warriors. We'll send KD back to the Warriors. They can all hang out together, just old man, like old dude just sitting around and campfire just talking shit. Oh, remember when we used to play against each other in the finals? Yeah, that was fucking sick, wasn't it? How about we do it together? You know that that's what they're going to be doing all this offseason when they're hanging out in Paris with the USA men's team, right? It's definitely going to happen. LeBron, KD, they're going to finagle it somehow. Probably just throw Chris Paul in there on a minimum as well, just to, he can glom on. At the same time, if you don't want KD pairing up with those two other old dudes, KD on Memphis would actually be fun as shit, wouldn't it? Just go hang out with Ja. It's like, Jesus Christ, he reminds me of Rusty. This is great. They're also, like, you know, fun. They're tough. KD on Memphis, that would be kind of wicked. He could also replace Brandon Spindles Ingram there in New Orleans. If you want to go get some draft picks back, David Griffin, can we have a couple of your million-tier draft picks? And we'll take Ingram off your hand. You can have KD. Look, we'll fucking half price, mate. It's half price. It's a good deal for you. It's a good deal for you, David Griffin. David Griffin, this is a great deal. I'm doing my balls here, mate. That's how you sell it. That's just how you sell it, Gerald. I love that. Nice. But OKC, it's obviously like OKC. Just send him to OKC. Just, they don't have cap space though, so it's a bit of a tough one. All right, really quick Australian player watch because it was only Jingling Joe Ingles who played today. Because we've only got the five remaining dudes. No Paddy Thrills, no Giddy, none of the Dallas gentlemen. But Josh Green, hopefully we have a bigger role tomorrow. I'm fascinated to see what Jason Kidd does in that regard. They're going to play Dante and Josh Green more. Anyway, Jingle Joe Ingles today in game five, 6 points. He was a plus 12 in a game they lost. 2 of 5 shooting, 2 of 3 of which were from downtown. Not bloody bad if you ask me. 3 rebounds, 1 assist. He played 10 minutes. They were plus 12, and they lost this game by basically 4 points, but it was 1 point in the end. Just saying. Play more Jingles. Let's go. All right. Andrew Gay's Grand Mum Reward for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba. Outstanding achievement. I'm going to doff my hat. I'll do all the good stuff. Let's do it. All right. Jam and Jamal Murray. The biggest increase in scoring average from regular season NBA playoffs in NBA history. Jam and Jamal Murray. 7.4 points. Second is Nikola Jokic. You're taking the piss at that point, Denver. 6.6. His scoring average goes up 6 points, but Jamal Murray goes up 7. And this is the thing. So the magic tweet of the day when we're back in the NBA Australia studio, it'll be like, it's magic basically going, he's got to be an all-star. It's like, yeah, he's not though. Like, he just does this every playoffs. It's just what Jamal Murray does. Regular season Jamal Murray. He's fighting amongst a million fucking point guards who are putting up a billion stats. And he's never a fucking all-star. He's not probably making all NBAs either. It doesn't matter. Because you know what matters? Fucking rings. Anyway, only MJ. That's Michael Jordan. Producer Joe. Just checking if you knew that. Will Chamberlain, Allen Iverson have more 50-point playoff games than Jamal Murray in the history of the NBA. They're the only ones. He's got one title already and is the only player in the play-by-play era, which is from 1997 and 1998 to now, to score two game-winning shots in the final 5 seconds of a playoff series. You're taking the piss, Jamal. You're taking the piss. I love it. He's a weapon. He rules. All right, what about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? We had a bunch of Patty stuff actually pop off. Let's see if I can find it. Here we go. Oh, it's Patty Mills and Oscar Piastri. Just a couple of Aussie icons there. I do love it how it's like, oh, hey. It's like F1, that's really cool now. Let's like hang out. Like Lionel Messi was at that Miami game the other day. He's like, fuck, is Derek White the best player in the NBA? This is sick. But Patty Mills hanging out with Oscar Piastri. Find me a more iconic duo. I'll wait. But Patty also had a shit ton of new other posts that he put up. Oh, that's right. It was like an ad where he's like, whoa, playing. He's like spinning fucking, what are they? Nachos. I love dunking my nachos in salsa almost as I love a slam dunk. When's the last time Patty had a fucking slam dunk? Just saying. I'm stoked to announce that I'm partnering with Old El Paso Australia as they sponsor the Australian team for the Paris Olympics. That's awesome. Hashtag ad. Fuck, now I want tacos. Just made myself real hungry. Old El Paso. Yeah, I love it. It's the most generic, like, fucking Mexican shit that you can get in Australia. That is great, though. I love that it's like, the Australian Olympic team is like, right, how do we get the most Australian aspect of us across? Mexican food, done. it's great. We don't even have a fucking proper like Mexican food chain in Australia. You know what was awesome? If you ever really wanted to blow your ass out in America, Taco Bell. Like if you just wanted to ruin your shit, you're just like, how can I just be fucking feeling this in my guts and clean myself out for the next like 2 to 3 days? Gotcha, Taco Bell. Nothing will do your fucking insides worse than a quesarito, I'll tell you that much. All right, let's do some game previews.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. How do we do on the tips today?
Not very well, Jim.
Actually, I think we went 2 or 3. What are you talking about? Because I did change it to Orlando today because they were +5.5 by the end. So we nailed the Knicks +4.5, +3.5. I think that had actually blown out to 4.5 by the time I bet it this morning. Orlando was 5.5. Yes. So these are the picks that I read out again this morning, I think. So if you're watching the reels on Facey and IG each morning, I'm putting out my picks again. And we tipped Indy on the road. That was wrong. So 2 or 3, we'll take that. We're doing all right. Tomorrow, we only have the 2 games, which is pretty interesting because they are 2 awesome games. Miami-Boston. Obviously, Miami on the brink of being expunged from the playoffs. The Celtics are 13.5-point favorites, Gerald. 13.5. Jesus. I'm taking the Celtics. I think they win that by a lot. I think this is an ass-kicking incoming for Miami. Look, the Heat won game 2 in Boston. Boston then went to Miami and kicked the shit out of them for 2 straight games. I think Boston are too good. Even though the extreme Zinger Mill, I think they smash them. 13.5, look, I would much rather if this was 8.5. But we saw them win by 14 last game there in Miami. I'm taking Boston at home by 13.5. And then Dallas at the Clippers. Amazingly enough, the Mavs are again favorites on the road, which I might actually have to check just because that's probably moving a little bit. -2.5 the Mavericks in LA. I'm going to go Dallas -2.5 because, look, I think Without Kawhi, you saw the Clippers go, fuck, James Harden, Paul George. Awesome. What are they both not? Proven playoff performers over the course of time. The thing is, Kyrie was awesome last game and the Mavs still lost. But I think we get a big Luka one here. He's got a bung knee. I think he'll just lace some threes. Off he goes. I think the Mavs can win that one. Give me -2.5 for the Mavericks and we'll see how we go. But that game should be fucking awesome, mate. So we're going to go Boston. Actually, that's the two favorites. Boston -13.5 and Dallas on the road in LA. Are your picks for tomorrow? We'll actually do a little bit of a quick segment tomorrow morning as well, you know, after we drop off the squids as I'm walking home, as per usual. I'll dig into that Boston number and we'll have a look at the Dallas one as well and see if it's changed. But either way, so keep tuned tomorrow morning as well. But either way, that's it for today, you little beauty. All done. In the meantime, of course, we'll be back tomorrow. But check out NBA Show on Facey, IG, Twitter, all the good stuff right there. You can see the wonderful little pick videos that I'm doing each morning. Very quickly, walking through the mean streets of Brunswick. Anyway, get around to NFL Australia as well. We will have a off-season wrap at some point. We're not going to be bothered. I'm very busy. Because we're also doing the AFL Today show. We actually just taped the Wednesday Midweek Madness show before I jumped on here. We did the best rivalries. That was a really fun one. You can check that out. So go check that out across all the socials. You can watch that on YouTube. Obviously, subscribe on your podcast app. Same thing goes for the AFL Today show as well. For the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast, NFL Australia. Hold all tickets. Rate, review, subscribe, star. I don't want to have to fire, but I will. If you haven't rated and reviewed. If you haven't rated or reviewed the shows yet, what are you fucking doing? You're taking the piss. You're taking the piss. I'm standing here doing this fucking show every day. If you haven't rated and reviewed, what are you doing? Come on. Help your mate Jimmy out just a little bit. Just saying. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. That doesn't exist anymore, does it, Joe? YouTube. YouTube Music. Find NBA Australia. I think it's there. I hope it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Bloody hell. Spotify. Yeah. All that good stuff. Whatever weird thing you use on your Android phone. NBAAustralia.com/shop as well. If you want some merch, go check that out. Big thanks always go to From Oslo, though, for the intro and outro song. They rule. So do House Hats, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers. They're behind all the tunes you hear throughout the show. They all rule. Check them out on Triple J on Earth, Bandcamp, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Support your local Australian bands because NBA Australia does. That's all we do. But that's it. No skit today because we're in the studio. It's always a bit weird and I'm always underprepared. It's also just weird doing a Deli impersonation in here in front of Gerald. He's like, what the fuck? I'm going to have to speak to HR about this. Anyway, we will catch you tomorrow on NBA Australia, dickheads. In the meantime, look after yourselves, would you? And remember, Litter is in now!